You're with Wendy Harmer on Life Matters. I'm sitting in for Natasha Mitchell, who's taking a break at the moment, the old lucky old duck. Good on her. And I'll be here for the next couple of weeks. Now, you might have been reading about the recent parliamentary elections in Timor. They're taking place 10 years after this small country declared itself an independent nation. And as you know, Australia has many ties to Timor, and one of which is that a girl from the regional Victorian town of Bendigo was for a time, the First Lady. Kirsty Sword-Guzmão is the wife of former President and newly elected Prime Minister Zsana Guzmão. And Timor, as we know, is one of the youngest nations, isn't it? With one of the youngest populations. I've got a few friends over there at the moment who say it's an extraordinary place. It's a very poor country, though, with one of the world's lowest per capita incomes. This all means there's a lot of pressure on schools, school children, education. And Kirsty is the chairperson of the Alola Foundation. She's a goodwill ambassador for education, and she's a chair of the National Education Commission UNESCO Timor List. And she's in Australia with us today to speak on her work in Timor and in support of Plan Australia's Because I Am a Girl campaign. Hello there, Kirsty.
Hi, good morning, Wendy.
I've spent 5 years in Bendigo myself.
Oh, did you? Not a Central Victorian girl.
Yeah, where did you go to school in Bendigo?
Golden Square High School.
Golden Square High. I went to Eagle Hawk High. There you go.
Oh, well, I actually went to Eagle Hawk Primary.
And we probably played each other in netball.
We probably did. There you go.
Although I think you're a bit younger than me. So tell me about Timor at the moment. It's been a decade since Timor was declared an independent nation. And how would you describe life now for most Timorese, Kirsty?
Well, it was with great pride and great joy that the Timorese people celebrated the 10th anniversary of their independence in May this year. There's been tremendous achievements. You know, you have to remember that Timor is a country that has rebuilt from ground zero as early as 2000, you know, putting in place all of the basic institutions of the state and restoring, you know, basic services such as, you know, health services, running water, education to the entire population. So that's no mean feat. Obviously, there's still a long way to go, though. The people are still very poor. We have the potential of, you know, great wealth and great development thanks to the oil and gas reserves in the Timor Sea. But we need to do a lot more work to ensure that the fruits of development are enjoyed equally by all East Timorese citizens, and particularly by women and girls.
Now, I know you can't come on behalf of your husband or the government, but you've just, as you say, had your elections in Timor. What was the mood like around the vote and the optimism? Good turnout at the polls?
Absolutely, yeah. I think sort of about between 75 and 80% turnout at the polls, which is great, and I think really reflects the political maturity and the sense that the Timorese people have that the democratic process is very important for, you know, a vibrant and healthy future for the country. The elections were held in a very peaceful environment. Some people were concerned that that wouldn't be the case, but both the presidential elections in March and April and these parliamentary elections were held without any major incident. And so that's, you know, again, a huge source of pride, I think, to the Timorese and great credit to them.
Absolutely. And how I know that you have targets around women into parliament, getting women into parliament. The legislation is for 30%, hopefully, of the parliament to be made up of women. Were there many women contesting in the recent polls, many women candidates?
Yes, there were. In fact, the 2006 electoral law makes it mandatory that all political parties need to include on their party lists, you know, at least one woman per four males, three or four. And so, you know, this is a really important step in the right direction in terms of having women's voices acknowledged and women's contributions, you know, embraced by the nation. We have a very good, you know, level of political representation both in parliament and also in government. You know, a number of the key ministerial postings are held by women. Our Prosecutor General is a woman, our Deputy Speaker in Parliament. So, you know, we're certainly on the right track in terms of promoting gender equality.
Now, the figures on how many young people that you have in Timor are quite extraordinary. More than 35% of the population is under 14. That compares with about 19% in Australia. And I know that you've taken up the part of young girls in particular. How are they getting on with their education, and what's their outlook? I mean, you know, what could they expect?
Well, obviously, job creation is still, you know, a challenge, and we need to encourage more Australian and international businesses to invest in Timor and to create jobs for our young people. You know, obviously, education is also a challenge. We need to be able to provide opportunities for people across the entire country, not just in the urban capitals, with a good quality education. Virtually, our entire teaching force left the country back in 1999 because they were largely from Indonesia. So we've had to rebuild that from scratch and, you know, train teachers again from scratch. Many were just high school graduates and they were recruited into the, you know, teaching service in 2000. So these are really, really big challenges, and obviously we desperately need the ongoing partnership and cooperation of, you know, big bilateral donors, but also international agencies such as Plan International and, you know, all the other organisations that are doing fantastic work to promote child rights, child protection, and particularly the whole issue of girls and their access to education, because it is a patriarchal society like many, and you know, women have to struggle, girls have to struggle to get into school and stay in school till the end.
I in 2001 you founded the Alola Foundation. That's a not-for-profit group, and I've heard it can even be a battle for you sometimes to get desks and chairs for the classrooms.
Yeah, absolutely. I visited some schools that are part of our Mother Tongue Pilot Program recently, and, you know, it's really heartbreaking to go into classrooms and see, you know, half of kids, and I mean, admittedly, the class sizes are large. Sometimes they've got 70, 80 kids in them, but often half of those kids are sitting on the floor because they don't have tables and chairs. And so, you know, one thing I'm going to be doing with my husband is lobbying him very hard as he forms his next government, to spend more money on education and on education services, because I think it's an area that is sort of easily forgotten. It seems more important to be, you know, building roads and infrastructure. But if we forget education, you know, we're forgetting really what is the pillar of development. You know, our human resources are really our fundamental wealth going even beyond, you know, oil and gas reserves.
You, it seems like, Kirsty, you're all for practical intervention, aren't you? You've established a Women's Resource Centre, for instance. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That was established in 2003.
Yeah. That's a component of Alola's advocacy program, and it's basically a space within the Alola offices with computers linked to the internet, a whole lot of literature on issues of relevance to women and women's and girls' lives, such as domestic violence, and sadly there continues to be quite a high incidence of domestic violence in East Timor. Young girls, you know, students who can't afford to go to an internet cafe and spend a dollar an hour on doing research either for their thesis or for their studies, can come in, and in a very supportive environment they can find information that they need. You know, it's not like in Australia. In Timor we don't have a public library on every street corner, so information is, you know, really very scarce. And so the whole idea of the Women's Resource Centre is to open up, you know, a world for girls and women to become more knowledgeable about issues like maternal and child health.
Yes, and you say open up the world here. I mean, you're in Australia now to support Plan International's Because I Am a Girl campaign, and the focus of this campaign is enforced marriage. Can you tell us what's happening there?
Well, this is just one of the barriers to girls' education, and that is, you know, in countries like East Timor, often girls are put under a lot of pressure to marry early and to abandon their education. In Timor's case, this is largely to do with bride price. So girl children command a bit of a price. So when they get married, they actually earn for themselves and for their family some kind of wealth.
Does this come through religious belief, or is it a cultural, just cultural tradition?
They're more cultural traditions, yeah.
Okay, and so what age are we seeing girls married off?
Well, many as young as, you know, 15, sometimes even younger, tragically. So, you know, we need to be able to draw attention to this and to the terrible damage that this does, not only to the girls' prospects, but to the nation. You know, when girls don't continue their education and, you know, get married early or, you know, fall pregnant while they're in school and they therefore don't enter into the workforce, you know, the nation loses a priceless resource for the future.
Sure. And how can we help?
Well, obviously by continuing to contribute to the great work of PRAM International, by staying aware of the work of other organisations like Alola, obviously getting involved in a whole range of other initiatives that are being undertaken in the Australian community. I'm talking this next weekend at a forum at the University of Western Sydney with a whole lot of friends and solidarity groups that are contributing various ways to Timor's development. So being part of that, coming and visiting, you know, visiting is a really important way of boosting our economy.
I know a lot of people will be looking around their house and think this place is stacked with books and, you know, things that students might be able to make use of. Can we physically bring them with us?
Well, as long as they're carefully selected items, lots of people donate some fairly useless things, educational materials, because our languages of instruction in schools are Tetum, which is one of the local languages, and Portuguese. English language texts are a little bit of limited use, really. Mm-hmm. We also, unlike back in 2000 when we did need to actually do a big drive to get donated goods, there's actually a lot of material things available in Timor now, and so it's actually better really to donate funds.
Yeah, that's right. I know that is the first thing, you know, when you hear these stories and you think, well, I've got a bit of a spare desk and a chair in the back, how can I get that there? But, you know, it's not helpful. It's money that's needed.
Well, I mean, these are all very admirable sentiments, obviously, and great solidarity that people feel, but I think it does need to be well thought out and in line with what our needs are.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I think you sound like you're doing amazing things, and we hope that you will be able to come back in a few years' time and say that more and more girls are in school in East Timor. When would you say that the first girls would graduate, really, from this new school system, and have what are their prospects for, say, then going on to higher education?
Well, many are entering into higher education already. Mm-hmm. At that level too, they obviously experience a lot of difficulties. Recently, Rotary, together with my organisation, launched a scholarship program specifically for girls in their final year of tertiary studies to help them get over that last little hurdle and to help them with funds to do research and to be able to complete their theses. So we are already seeing, you know, girls and women reaching the tertiary education level. We need to now really consolidate, make sure that the quality of that education that they're getting is good and is meeting, you know, the needs of themselves and of the job market in Timor.
Good on you, Kirsty. Well, I tell you what, you're unbelievable. You're just a redoubtable woman. So thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for speaking to me.
From a girl from Golden Square High. Who'd ever thought you'd end up where you did, eh? Extraordinary journey.
Privilege to be representing such an amazing, dignified people.
Yeah, good on you. Thank you so much for being with us. Kirsty Sword Guzmal, she's a former first... I've tripped over that five times now. She's the former first lady. That's not as easy as it sounds. Former first lady of East Timor. Her husband, Husana Guzmal, has just been elected prime minister in the recent elections. And she's in Australia as a keynote speaker for Plan Australia.